Hello and welcome to the HTXT AfriCast this Wednesday. My name's Nick Cowan. I'm your host for today, and joining me in the studio is Clinton Matos.
Hello, everybody.
And Brendan Lotz.
Hello.
No Lungelo Shezi, the woman of mystery, has retreated to the darkness from whence she came.
I have taken over a space. I've reclaimed it.
I think you've reclaimed your space.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you've been on more podcasts than she has since she's been at HTXT Africa, and you've been here, I think, 2 years less than she has.
Can we stop, like, throwing shade at Lungelo, who is actually sitting, like, not 2 meters
don't
from
break
us?
The illusion.
Yeah, you see, you broke the illusion, because I was going to say, it's not like I can't do that. It's not like she's sitting here in the room with us or anything. But she is.
Did
so much for the mystery. Thanks, Brendan.
Well, what can I say? You know, if I was a magician, I would be
telling everybody how to do the trick.
Yes.
And if everybody wanted to know, I was actually in the last podcast too. You probably heard me typing in the background.
We did actually. Can I tell you how hardcore it was to edit that podcast?
I'm sorry,
because
Brendan,
in the background, all I could hear is,
I was working. Sorry.
Well, you know, I mean, long-time listeners might have just thought that was Lungelo Shezi making a point. Because you'll notice that whenever Lungelo makes a point, she goes, and I'll tell you another thing.
Yeah. Anyway. Now everybody can hear us banging on the desk. Now you know what
Lungi's,
that sounds like.
Lungi's gone. We can say whatever
so
we want.
So we've got a couple of things to talk about today. We've got a phone. We've got a YouTuber.
Yes.
I think we should go with the phone first.
This is going to be the more course of...
Yeah, this will be the
salty part of
the very, very salty part.
So, podcast.
Over the past couple of weeks, I've been using a Sony Xperia XZ Premium, which
is the word premium loosely defined here.
It's very loosely defined. I mean, it is. I mean, this is a 13,000 rand or 14,000 rand, 13,999 smartphone. So, premium is there for a reason.
Yeah, I suppose they sell less units if they call it the Sony.
Upper class.
Very expensive.
Yeah. So essentially this is the follow up to the XZ series that was launched last year. And at last year when the series launched, there was just the plain XZ, which I really, really loved. It was a capable smartphone. It was really, really nice to hold in your hand. It wasn't too big. It wasn't too small. Mm. The picture quality was really awesome. The camera was great. The video capabilities were good. So I was expecting more of the same from the premium side of things. But after using it for a while, I feel like Sony essentially took the XZ, upgraded it, and didn't think about what else was happening in the market. So the first thing to note is that there are huge bezels on the top and bottom of the phone, like massive by today's standards.
Sony has always had big bezels, and I don't think they've ever reduced them.
Fair enough, but we are now in an age where Samsung is creating phones where there are pretty much no bezels.
On the sides. Well,
on the sides, minimal bezeling at the top. The problem that this has for me, though, is that about... The bottom of the screen is now used as soft buttons, so there are no actual buttons on the hardware itself.
Yeah.
So these two big bezels at the top are literally housing the speakers and the camera.
Front-facing speakers, though, Brendan.
It's fine. It's okay. It's a decent... Like, I said in my review that I'll forgive it because that's where the speakers are. So it's a design choice, and it's better than having speakers that are firing directly into my hand when I'm holding the phone. So I'll forgive them for that. What I won't forgive them for, though, is the terrible fingerprint sensor. Right? So this fingerprint sensor is housed on the right side of the phone.
Yeah.
And as I'm showing you right now, it's literally covering... Not even a third.
It's not a big sensor. Yeah.
It's not a big sensor. And the problem with that is that if you have any sort of gunk on your finger, any water, sweat, dirt, whatever it might be, the fingerprint scanner fails.
That's strange because I have a really cheap Xiaomi phone and the fingerprint sensor works just fine.
Well, this is the thing is that like I've used a couple of cheap phones where the fingerprint sensor is bad. And you're like, okay, well, it's bad because it's cheap. Yeah. This, I don't understand.
It's 14K.
It's basically 14K, and I expect for that amount of money for the fingerprint sensor to work every time I touch it.
Yeah.
Performance is good, but you would expect that from a phone of this tier. The camera's decent. There is a slow motion option that can record video at 960 frames per second, but, and this is the problem that I found, is that when you're recording in low light, it is horrific. The image quality is horrific. Like, it's so bad, unless you're filming in full daylight with no clouds in the sky. It's really, really bad. Then to get to the actual slow motion thing, it's not like a tap of a button. You've got to slide and then select it. And by that moment, I mean, the moment that I wanted to capture in slow motion is gone.
The whole point of it is it's supposed to be fast.
It's supposed to be fast. I mean, getting to the camera is fast enough, but then to have to scroll from there, it would be nice to have a sort of fast button that you could just tap from the camera home screen to go, I want slow motion. Literally just tap it. Not have to scroll through video, then scroll again to slow-mo, and then hit record. Let me just tap something and record it slow motion easily. I don't understand where they were thinking with that sort of thing.
Is it tied into Sony's big hoo-ha infrastructure as well? Like, you know, share on PlayStation.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you get all of that sort of stuff. The Sony PlayStation app does come pre-installed.
Right.
In terms of bloatware, there's not a lot. There's Sony News, there's the PlayStation app, Sony's own sort of app store, which is called What's New. The camera itself, as a stills camera, is really, really great, though. I mean, I would happily forget the office camera here.
Really?
Yeah, and take that with me, because the image quality from stills is really, really nice, particularly in low light. I just don't understand why the video, the slow motion video, is so bad. It, like I said in my review, it's so bad. I haven't seen such bad image quality since the days of VGA cameras.
Wow. Jeez.
And that's in low light. I must just stress that this is in low light.
So what do you think the reason for that is? Do you think it's just they implemented it too late and they didn't have time to polish it? Or?
I think that's the thing, is it feels like it wasn't polished. Like they had this great idea and it was like, okay, cool, well, this is what's going to be our differentiator from Samsung and LG. But at the end of the day, I feel like the G6 and the S8 are more complete smartphones. And now they're going to be a little bit cheaper because they've been out for a while. And I think that those are better options as a smartphone for the premium tier. Hell, I would even suggest a Xiaomi Note 9 over this one.
Just to keep throwing
Mate
shade.
Mate 9, sorry.
I bought myself, like personally, I bought a Xiaomi Redmi 3S.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. I don't think it's good at all. Just to throw some shade there as well.
So the thing is, right, is that when you – and somebody mentioned this to me last week, and I actually included it, is that the enemy of good is great. And the problem is that we now have a smartphone space where there are so many great phones. And being good just doesn't cut it anymore, because the XZ Premium is a good phone. But is it better than something like the G6 or the S8, which I think are more rounded experiences, which are – better usability, they have more support here in the country. I don't know. I don't think Sony's onto a winner here, and I think it really needed the XZ Premium to be a great phone rather than just a good phone. In fact, I would actually, if you're looking for a Sony phone, I would say look at last year's XZ. It's going to be cheaper. It's a really great experience to use, and it fits in your hand. Like, this thing is big, it's bulky,
what's
and I don't understand
why. What's the screen size?
It's a 5 point, I shall tell you now. Apologies. It's a 5.4-inch display.
Okay, yeah, but again, huge bezels.
And this phone is the size of the S8.
Oh.
And it's a 5.4-inch screen. Oh. So, yeah, I really did not enjoy my time with the XZ Premium. And if you desperately want one because the camera is good, I would say look somewhere else. Look at
the camera's good sometimes.
Well, hang on a second. Like, how much does a Sony camera cost these days?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Is it more than 14K?
Probably, okay. Yes. Well, Sony Alpha is going to cost you about like 15, 20K, I think.
So chuck in like another $5,000 and just get a camera.
Yeah, but you can't make calls off of a camera.
Okay. I suppose so.
Well, that's what the millennials will tell you these days.
Well, you know. Is that right, Clinton?
Millennials
is
are that, killing the camera industry.
Is that what you tell me, Clinton?
Nick, you're closer to the millennium gap than I am.
What are you talking about?
What's the millennium gap? It's like before 95, and I was born in 95.
I think it is. I think it's between 1987, 85 or something. I don't know.
Anyway,
the definition of millennials.
If I paid that much for a phone and it was as bad as you're saying, I'd be real salty. I'd be real. I paid like less than a quarter for my
phone.
And
I fully expect people to disagree with me because this phone has been out for about 2 weeks. It's been available for you to buy and people love their smartphones. I just don't think that this is a very good smartphone.
Yeah.
I think your money would be better spent on something like the LG G6. Like, honestly, that is such a great phone. It's like, it's just wonderful. And the V30 is coming out soon, which I'm really excited about.
Do you have a full review?
Yes, there is a full review on the site. It'll be linked to in the description or not cool. In the description. You can tell I've been watching too much YouTube. It'll be
should we also smash that like button?
Smash that like button. Don't forget to subscribe.
Okay, since we're talking about that, I'm going to take over and talk about my interview with Shammy. So if you didn't know, on HTX...
Who is Shammy?
It's a thing you use to clean a car. I'm getting to that. I had to use it once because I didn't have it in the actual interview. If you don't know, on the site for the last few months, I've been interviewing people from YouTube. The term a lot of people use is content creators because the term YouTuber kind of has like a...
Aren't they called influencers now?
No, they can be. It's like an equation thing. They can be influencers, but they're not always. So Shammy is, I think he falls into the kind of subgenre on YouTube as the critique channel. And he critiques video games. And he's very clever and he's very quick-witted. In one of his Q&A videos, he says he takes a lot of inspiration from Yahtzee. From Ben Crawshaw, also known as Yahtzee. And you can definitely see that in this interview. If you've ever been on YouTube and it suggested something about video games and you see an owl in the corner, it's probably him because that's like his channel avatar and he uses that as a stand-in for him.
Well, it's like a sprite, isn't it? Almost.
Yeah,
like he gives the owl facial expressions and emotive language.
When someone asked him, he said, you know, aside from just liking owls, if you Google owl PNG, you're going to find a lot of stuff. So it's like, whenever I need to animate a segment and I need a picture of an owl, there's always like, here's an angry owl, here's a happy owl, here's a morning owl, here's a...
Surprised owl.
Yeah, and you know, in his defense, I needed a header image and I Googled owl interview and wouldn't you know, a picture of an owl being interviewed popped up, so... I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. This is one of those things where I suggest before you go before you read my interview, I suggest you go watch some of his videos just for context. I mean, if you're reading an interview, you don't know what the guy is doing or what he is. It's going to be a bit strange. So just to give you a quick primer, I am going to link to this. It's something you need to read and watch. Go check out his series called An Actual Review, where... Yeah. He didn't tell me the like history of the actual review. I think that's just his name he gave it.
Mm.
But they're quick 10 to 20 minute videos where he talks about various games. Go check out his Titanfall 2, an actual review. And this is one of his best ones, the mom-friendly review of Outlast 2. So,
man, I laughed.
So this one's pretty funny. So when he speaks, you know, he curses a lot and he's like purposefully abrasive for comedy. And it's really funny, but... He made this video so his mom could watch it because it was around the time of Mother's Day. And it's Outlast 2 is like one of the least...
mom-friendly games.
Yeah, there's a lot of like violence and really uncomfortable imagery in that. And he tried to make it friendly for moms. And it was really funny. And you should also watch that one. And I asked him about it. I was like... After that came out, did you see an increase in your mom demographic? He's like, no, I didn't see that. But my mom actually cried when she got to the end. So
it was really heartfelt. Though.
Yeah.
Let's not spoil too much.
Yeah. He says a lot of people like have sent messages and he said, my mom, she doesn't know anything about video games, but I sent her this video and she also really liked it. So he said that's one of his funniest. And just to round off, I want to talk about the infamous Melon video. So
infamous.
Infamous, yeah. You may be wondering why he made a video about melons. And I can't really tell you why either, except that it's a spoof of another video about quantum computing.
Yeah.
And if you go watch this video, it's called What Does Quantum Computing Mean for Gamers? And I think the people who made that video were a little out of touch. No, they weren't reaching. I don't want to say they were a little bit up their own butts, but they were a little bit up their own butts. So he came and he made the spoof called what does this 14-pound bag of melons mean for gamers? And it's just so well written. And if you listen to it, it's garbage BS that doesn't mean anything. But if you go watch the thing it's making fun of, and then you come back, you're like, see what you did. You're very clever, Shammy. I see what you did.
It's very interesting. It was very interesting to me to read, like, just get to know this person behind the videos. Yeah. Because very often, I mean, YouTube has become my primary source of entertainment.
Same, yeah.
And very often, I will be watching these videos and forget that there's actually a person behind that channel that is working day and night to create these things. Like, I mean, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll be like, oh, why hasn't iDubbbz uploaded in like 3 months? And it's like, oh, well, maybe he has a life.
Yeah, you know? And maybe a video takes 100 hours to do, which is what Shammy told me. He told me, like, a video, everyone's like, well, why haven't you put out a video this month? It's like, I work a full-time job and it takes me 100 hours to do a video. Gee.
So it gives you an idea of how much work, like, Ben Croshaw puts into his videos for Beyonce.
Because he's a again, channel that animates.
Yeah, and he's also, like, he's a full-time journalist.
I mean.
So, you know, and it is kind of hard to be consistently funny on a deadline. You know,
jeez, and he does it every week, and he's been doing it every week for like 5-6 years, I think.
He's been doing it longer than that.
Yeah,
he's been doing it for 10 years, dude.
Wait. Let me. Punctuation.
Let me tell you how long he's been doing it. He has been doing it for just over 10 years, because his first video was The Darkness. He just uploaded to YouTube. And
5 years ago, it says.
The Darkness came out 10 years ago.
No, they re-uploaded it on The Escapist. That's why.
No, you just have to look at his back catalog. He did... look, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
This last month, we had the 10th anniversary of Bioshock, right?
Yeah.
He did a video for Bioshock when it came out. It's over 10 years, Clinton. Man. Trust me.
This makes me sad, though. The original ones aren't on YouTube anymore. They've now been...
consigned to the dustbin of history.
I'm confused. Sorry. The Darkness 2 one is on The Escapist from 5 years ago. The Darkness, which was the first game, was his first one. And that was 10 years ago. It says right here, 10 years ago.
I love the fact that I can just throw facts at you.
Okay, calm down. Starting to sound like messy noise.
Yeah.
Yahtzee's been on YouTube.
How old were you when he came out? 13?
I was 12, I'll have you know.
I didn't even have internet 10 years ago. So that's not even. Oh, no, wait.
I had.
Yes, you did.
I did. 10 years ago is not as long as I think it is.
I had iBurst.
No, you're just like 100. You're just not as old as you think you are. Don't worry, it'll catch up with you,
man.
When the nose hairs start and the ear hairs start,
I don't need any of that in my life.
You're gonna get it anyway,
buddy.
I'll
just burn it with. I'll just put a big lighter up my nose and burn all of that stuff.
That sounds like the worst.
I look like forward to seeing your name on the Darwin Awards.
Why? What could happen? What is the worst that could happen?
It sounds like that Simpsons scene, it'll happen to you. I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. going off of what you said, if you watch like a big show that's going on that everyone watches every week, if you go search, like, you can find interviews with the actors and the directors and like behind the scenes commentary and everything. But if you go search for one of these YouTube channels, especially the small to medium ones, you'll find nothing.
Yeah.
Because they just don't see a reason to put that information out there. And there's no like a marketing department saying, no, people want to know what high school you went to. Let's do this interview where they go interview in a high school.
It's also like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so your traditional entertainment media is hung up with what Taylor Swift is doing today. People like us are more concerned when somebody like PewDiePie decides he's going to delete his channel from YouTube and then actually doesn't, because it's just a big ploy.
Still a bit salty about that.
But these YouTubers really, aside from the big names, don't really get much space in the public eye.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of them work really, really hard to create content that millions and millions of people watch, and a lot of people don't even know who these people are.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I honestly didn't know who Eric from Comments Etiquette was.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get to know him in inverted commas. And so he started appearing on the H3 podcast.
Yeah.
Like Binging with Babish. I can't remember his real name. Andrew something.
Andrew Raya.
That's it.
Ray.
Like, I had no idea what who this guy was. I mean, I'd been watching his videos for ages. And when he did his, I think it was million subs special.
Yeah.
He actually like showed off his face and who he was and where he lives and all these things. And I mean, it's nice to get to know these people because it makes them a bit more human in the eyes of the public.
Yeah. A lot of like when you said, why haven't you put up a video in a month? It's like because they just see a voice over some imagery, like a voiceover. And again, they probably don't have time to do interviews and stuff because they're spending 120 hours doing a single video. Go.
Rather have complaints of lack of content than complaints on your content. If I was a YouTuber,
there's usually both.
If I was a YouTuber, I'd rather have people go, "Oh, when's the next video?" rather than "Don't ever put up a video again. You suck."
Well, that happens both. It goes both.
I'm sure it does.
Just ask Jax Films,
which is why China making the comment section non-anonymous might not be a bad idea.
I think that's a bad idea. Can we talk about this for a second, though? Because I don't know if anybody heard this, but China is. Considering a move where you would need to prove your identity before you can post online. Okay.
Post anything or just anything. In comment section?
In a comment section, sorry.
Okay.
In a comment section.
So you could go on YouTube as YouTuber 0076541 and you could still post up content.
Yes, but but YouTube would need to know who you actually are.
Yeah, but... Well, this is allegorical because YouTube's banned in China, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's part of Google.
So Weibo, for instance, Weibo would need to verify the identity of its users before they would be allowed to post comments.
Right. Oh, okay.
So,
and I just thought it was comment section.
If you're a news site, you would need to approve comments before they even go up online.
You know, in the good old days, that's what used to happen.
Yeah, but now we live in an age where Discus is a thing and people want to see their comments now because badge.
I totally get that, but do you know why comments used to have to be moderated?
Because people were terrible online?
No. I mean, people have been terrible online since day one. It's just that they didn't get the immediate gratification of being terrible online. The thing was is that comments used to be moderated because the laws were so strict in that, like, for example, if you write a story, like back in the day, and someone writes something under that by, you know, and they're racist or homophobic or something like that, you know, you as a publication could get done for having that printed on your website. And the laws were relaxed for that because of comment sections online. Now anyone can post anything they like, and then the only thing that can happen is someone posts something racist, I register a complaint, you do, and then the moderators just take it down and ban that IP or whatever. But it used to be, I'm not sure how the libel laws work entirely here. It's different in the United States, but in the UK, you know, if you libel someone and another publication repeats that libel, they can get done for libel as well.
Yeah, I remember you telling me something about that. So yeah, China clamping down on free speech. I'm not surprised, to be honest.
If I remember correctly,
I mean that's totally out of step with China's internet policy, isn't
it?
If I remember correctly, I think it was in Norway. This news site, they did this thing where before you could comment, you needed to answer a quiz about what you just read. The idea behind there being that people just seeing the headline. Or not even reading the headline.
So you actually had to get a score before you were allowed to comment.
I think it was three questions. You had to get them all right before you could put in a comment. It was like, I read the story. I know the minutiae and the points. And now I'm going to give a proper
comment. So in other words, are you too stupid to be commenting on this article?
No. They just wanted to know if you read the article. Like if you had bad stuff to say, like, I didn't think this was very well written. Well, at least they know that you read all your body, all the copy, and you know it's badly written. Think it's badly written.
I would love it if it was a question. It's like, did you read the entire article? What did you like? Did you think of this particular point that was made?
Do you think there
Who
was
the hell are you anyway? And have you ever bought a Coldplay album?
If you answer yes to Coldplay album, you immediately... let's not be rude to Coldplay. I like their first album, Parachutes. That was really good. And what was the other one?
A Rush of Blood to the
Head.
That
was it, yeah. That was the only other good one. Everything else is terrible. Is that your Chris Martin impression?
Okay. That's my Tommy York.
Wow.
Anyway, so moving along from YouTubers who talk about games to games, because Clinton wants to talk about Brink.
Well, it's free.
The end.
And that's the end of that.
So if anyone remembers Brink, it came out in 2007, which is a decade ago.
And did not come out in 2007.
So it's 2011.
It's 2011.
Yeah, I was thinking
you're great
about
at dates. Still a decade ago. I mean, this is a wonderful thing. You actually have a computer in front of you, and I'm just reeling this stuff off the top of my head.
I'm reading about Raspberry Pi. Leave me be.
I'm glad this podcast has your full attention.
Yes, it does. I'm trying to work. Oh, I was going to say two jobs, but it's the same job in two
different
fronts. Stop.
Multitasking, you're rubbish at it.
So Brink came out in 2011, yes, and for some reason, a few days ago, or 6 days ago, the story says, it became free.
Did you ever hear back from your question to Bethesda, whether or not it was
there? No, but IGN spoke to a representative from Bethesda.
Was it Bethesda or Splash?
No, so someone did get back to me, right? Splash Damage. So Splash Damage was the developer, Bethesda is the publisher. Mm. Splash Damage said to me that they were not involved with this
decision
to make it free. And I'm just trying to find the exact quote from someone from Bethesda, but the gist of it is, why not?
Okay, why not make Skyrim free? Why not stop making Skyrim for every device in the world, Bethesda?
So the quote here exactly is, why not? That's what they said.
You know what they could be doing is they could be going, oh, okay, so let's just see exactly how much interest there is in this game. All right, and then, like, you know, build up. And here's the thing. I don't know what you guys thought of Brink when it first came out.
Terrible.
Yeah, I played it. I bought it at full price. Don't know why. And I played it for a while, and I didn't think it was very good, but I had nothing else to play.
It was okay during that drought of March 2011.
Also, I spent all my money on it, so...
It's kind of... Yeah, I feel you, though. I remember those days when you could afford one game and you bought that game.
What do you mean, those days?
Because now you can buy games for, like, $2.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You know, like, it's a lot cheaper. I'm not saying the games are good.
Well, this is the thing, that, you know, I mean, on PC at any rate.
Yeah.
You know.
On a console, I think it's a little bit more tricky. I mean, some games are free. Like, Hearthstone is free.
Yeah. Heroes of the Storm is free.
Guild Wars is free.
Isn't Gwent free as well?
Gwent is free. I mean, there's so many free games on PC, it's actually ludicrous.
Hey?
Warframe.
Warframe should not be free. That game should have like $15 price.
A Warframe, if you want to lose a few hundred hours of your life.
Well, you see, that's the funny thing is that maybe I thought that Bethesda was trying, maybe this could be another Warframe. It's like you release it for free, have people build up a player base, like start off in factions, blah, 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 blah. And then before you know it, the microtransactions come in. And well, no. But
does it support mods, though?
No. Well, I don't know about mods, but... They didn't add microtransactions. This wasn't.
Well, no, they've just only made it free.
Yeah, that's all that's happened.
Why don't you prick up your ears and listen to what I'm saying? I think that what they're doing is they're putting it into the marketplace and going, how much interest is there in this game if you don't actually have to shell out for it right at the beginning, right? And then if they build up a player base, like, for example, you know, the same size as perhaps. Team Fortress,
yeah.
You know, or Warframe, although I don't think they'll get anywhere near the player base that Warframe has. You know, maybe then they introduce microtransactions, and all of a sudden, this IP that's been lying dormant for about 6 years can possibly turn into a money spinner for them.
I think what Bethesda should concentrate on.
I'm just spitballing here. Maybe that's not the plan.
That is a really good point. I mean, that's clever to rather than spend money on creating a whole new IP. Mm. Do some market testing and see whether there is interest in this sort of thing. But I have a bit sneaking suspicion that people are more interested in Overwatch than they are Brink for free.
Yeah, but you still have to pay for Overwatch.
Fair enough, but I would rather pay for a game that I know is good, that I've seen online multiple times with sterling reviews and sterling comments.
You're not talking about Brink anymore.
No, I'm not talking about Brink. I'm saying over Brink, which is slammed by critics.
Mm. Well, no, it's not slammed by critics. In actual fact, if you look up the reviews of Brink, a lot of people wrote at the time that Brink was a decent game. It had decent mechanics and decent shooting mechanics, and it had an interesting world that had been built. The biggest problem that Brink had was it came out the week of the PlayStation hack.
Oh, okay.
So PSN was offline. So here's a game online that requires online to play it, and it's now a paperweight.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that's a concern because the 24-hour peak was 1,500 people. You're not going to build an online community with 1,500 people. The all-time.
So if that was your plan, Bethesda, Clinton would like you to know you have failed, and you have failed miserably.
But
he is available for consultancy rates.
So here's the full quote. Okay, so this was the Bethesda's VP of Marketing and PR, Pete Hines. He said that, just to give you a quick thing, they reduced it last year during a sale to 99 cents. And then he was like, well, why don't we just make it free? Like, why not? So, yeah, I mean, I downloaded it. It's 6 gigs, if I remember correctly. And I put in 30 minutes and then I deleted it again. Yeah. So peak since it's become free has been 2,600 people.
That's very small. Yeah. But who knows? Maybe.
I mean, someone's going to download it, play it, be like, this is what I've been looking for.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, but I think it was just for some good PR. I mean, we're talking about it. That's free PR. So
yeah.
I'm sure they don't need it. I'm sure Bethesda.
Oh, well, I mean, it did get a 7.2 on Metacritic. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I think there are better games, though, get for free.
I think that it's more interesting, though, talking about the platform it goes on. Because, I mean, the thing is that, like, you're right. PCs have so many free games, it's not even funny. I mean, you will find the odd free thing to play on the Xbox or the PlayStation, like Smite, I suppose.
Yeah.
But the volume of free stuff you get is far greater on PC. And the other thing about PC games is they've always been cheaper. Even if you buy them as a box copy, they've always been cheaper. You know, now that you have, like, online stores, I mean, you know, with Steam, with its RAND conversion, like, if you've got local prices, you know, I mean, like, you know, a decent game will cost you what? Between, you know, from a non-AAA publisher or, you know, will cost you between what? 100 and...
$200
Yep.
I mean, I picked up
maximum $500, and even a brand new AAA game, unless it's sold to you by Activision, which is all about the Benjamins, will cost you in the region of $700 to $800.
Yeah,
like, you're not going to get a box copy at the store that it's brand new for less than $1,000.
Yeah,
you're just not. I mean, this is one of the reasons that, like, you know, maybe going to different platforms is better. I had this experience last week when I went to an event for Telcom Lit at
Lit Up
at the Social Kitchen and Exclusive Books, and I can't get out of Exclusive Books without doing browsing. I just can't.
Yeah.
And because I was like going, oh, I haven't bought a book in a while. It has been a while since I bought a book. Oh my goodness, I'll buy this book. And I thought, I've never read Game of Thrones. I mean, now that the series is finished, and also we know that the series and the books have now
branched
away from each other. You think, well, if I catch up on the Game of Thrones books, it'd be like there's a whole new different season of Game of Thrones waiting for me when and if George R. R. Martin bangs out the next one.
Yeah.
Right? So I just thought, okay, I'll buy that. And then on my way out the store, I see a copy of The Dice Man. I don't know if you've ever read The Dice Man.
No.
The Dice Man is basically about a psychologist who one day thinks, screw it! Psychology is rubbish. And he decides to come up with a new psychological diktat, which he takes a dice and he gives himself choices from a 1 to 6. And it's like, you have to follow the dictates of the dice. And after a while, you just decide, leave it in the hands of fate completely. This is a book, by the way, that was written back in 1971. So while the concept might not strike you as brand spanking new in a world where we have Two-Face and things like that, then... you know, but back then it was pretty hectic, and also it's pretty. Some of the stuff he decides to do, based on a dice roll, it'll make your hair stand on end. It's a bit of a cult book, and so here's the thing: I'm thinking, oh, I want the Dice Man as well. And I look at this book. The Dice Man is 180 rand.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, the first one, is 190 rand, and that's not bad for books that are like five.
They're paperback, yeah.
Yeah, paperback.
Yeah,
but that's not bad for like books that are like 500 and 700 to 800 pages respectively. Yeah. And then I go on Amazon and I check out the local pricing for that, and the Kindle versions of both of those books come to $140. All right.
Yeah. Okay. I gave you a bit of grief on it on Twitter, though. I was like, "Oh yeah." You don't get the feeling of a book, but like with a deal like that.
Yeah. And this is by the way, before you get into things like, oh, I've got, say, for example, Moby Dick or Dracula as a set work in university, or I just want to read them again. You go on Amazon and it's like 1p.
Aren't there some free as well? There's like there's some of the classics are completely
some of the
free.
Classics are completely free.
So,
and you sit there going, and here's the thing, rather than like go on holiday with a whole bunch of books and weighing down your luggage and, you know, carting them around, you pitch up with this thing that's like, you know, it's essentially the same weight as a phablet.
Yeah.
You could also
everybody should get a what's it called?
Kindle. I wouldn't say everyone should get a Kindle. I'd say that if you want to save money on books, because obviously, like, I'm like you, like, if I'm going to give someone a cool present, like, I'm going to get them a book.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a friend who's got a Kindle who reads graphic novels on Kindle. And I'm just like, that's sacrilegious.
Yeah, that's not there, the same.
There's somebody working over at Marvel or DC who's a colorist and who's sitting there going, why did I bother?
Yeah.
You know? And similarly, there's just some books that are better being, you know, in your hand. Like, for example, I found this book that I'm planning to get for a friend of mine called the Hannibal Cookbook.
Does it teach you how to make long pork?
It's a cookbook. It's essentially like, you know, the series Hannibal.
Yeah.
It's essentially a cookbook that makes you that gives you recipes that look like the sorts of things.
Oh my god! Is there a recipe for fava beans there?
No, fava beans are just, you know, fava beans. It's how you prepare the survey taker's liver that counts.
I hope they do have a recipe and it's just a normal recipe for them. And it's like, oh, where's the trick? Like, there's none. There it's just no fava trick. Beans.
It's just fava beans. There was no innuendo there whatsoever.
Yeah. Anyway, well, so I think that was basically that's it for us this week.
It is indeed.
I don't know. Are we recording from here next week? Who knows?
Who knows? It'll be
maybe mystery. Lungi will be on again.
Maybe we will be recording from a coffee shop.
We would ask Lungello, but she is not in the room. No, not in the room. So from myself, Nick Cowan, and from Clinton.
Say goodbye, Lungi.
And from Brendan.
just shout it over.
Cheers.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye. Bye.
Lungi. Bye. Lungi says goodbye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.